I'm Bex, and welcome to the Week Junior Show. Today, I'm joined by two of the team from the Week Junior, the magazine making sense of the world for 8 to 14-year-olds. We've got editor Vanessa and editorial assistant Elena. Now, in this episode, we're going to be talking about Iceland's most recent volcanic eruption, a mission to bring a tree back to life, and a library's unusual method to attract new customers. We're also going to be having a big debate about whether singers should stop swearing. Now, I've noticed in this week's wellbeing feature in the magazine, it's all about the beginning of spring and how it's time to make some new resolutions and have a fresh start. So I wanted to know, what is your favourite thing about spring? For me, it's obvious. It's hope, isn't it? It's like the excitement of like fresh beginnings and like, you know, things are starting up again. Winter and the cold is kind of out of the door, and we might have some sunshine in very soon. Vanessa, how about you?
I think I'm all about hope as well. But in my case, quite specific hope. I've been planting seeds in trays to give them a little head start. So I want them to sprout, and then I can plant them out in the garden when the weather gets a bit warmer. So I've been planting them in trays and imagining all these beautiful flowers that will emerge. It never happens. But so this is actually for me a time of daydreaming rather than the actual reality when I end up with about three sprouts left.
And yeah, coming back to hope, absolutely. We're hopeful that they will exactly, maybe they will come up eventually. Elena, how about you?
For me, it's the sun and the warmth and looking out of my window and seeing so many colours in the world. Vanessa's flowers.
Yeah, which are amazing in my own head. Oh, it's like Chelsea Flower Show.
Seeing some sunshine after a lot of grey days is always a good sign, right?
Exactly. And it's nearly Easter.
It's not Easter. Not any time for chocolate eggs. Now, we need to talk about the cover of this week's magazine as well. Vanessa, what can you tell me about it?
Well, this week we've got a really dramatic picture of the volcanic eruption in Iceland. Now, I say eruption, but it's not a real like kaboom blast. This is called a fissure eruption. And this is where a big crack opens up in the ground and molten rock kind of seeps out, but it's pretty fast. Last Saturday, scientists were saying that the molten rock was moving at about half a mile an hour, which doesn't sound that rapid. It's a good bit slower than walking pace, but it's melted rock, and it shows no signs of slowing down at the moment.
Yeah, this is quite interesting. But wasn't there an eruption like a few months ago as well?
Yeah, well, I think it's all kind of part of the same thing. There was indeed an eruption, and a town called Grindavik was evacuated. And it's still in the path of the lava, but experts have put up big barriers around the town to kind of change the lava's path. What on earth those barriers are made of to withstand molten rock, I don't know. But anyway, Iceland is famously a very volcanic place. It's got more than 100 active volcanoes. And the one that's threatening Grindavik is more of a kind of volcanic system. And that means it's got lots of vents in the region. And Professor Tamsin Mather from Oxford University says this kind of activity has happened three times in the last 4,000 years. And in those cases, the eruptions went on for quite a few years. So yeah, possibly there's plenty more to come.
Oh my goodness, the numbers there, that's incredible. Wow, I didn't know any of that. Brilliant, thank you very much, Vanessa. And now it's time for Real or Rubbish. This is the bit of the show where one of the team tries to trick me. I have to hear a story and guess whether it's true or false. So Elena, what do you have for me this week?
I really like this one. Okay, Bex, have you ever gone to the library, borrowed a book, and then for whatever reason, you return it late? What happens then?
Oh, you get fined, I suppose.
You get fined. So annoying, right? Has it ever happened to you?
No, I'm quite a good girl, but I know
it would be.
Okay.
But I know, I've heard of it before. I know it happens.
Yeah, it's happened to me. I think I still have a book in my house that I never returned. And of course, it's been years now. I would be too embarrassed to go back. Anyway, this week's Real or Rubbish is about a library in the US that has decided to let readers not to pay fines for the late return of books. Instead, what they've allowed readers to do is to submit cat pictures, and then they're not fined.
Hang on a second. So is it like a cat picture a day? Like every day you're late, you have to give another cat picture? Like for a fine?
You can just send in any cat picture and you're fine. It's forgiven.
But then, does that mean you get to keep the book? Could you have to give it back? Do they still want the books back?
Of course not. You return the book and then you submit a cat picture, and then whatever amount of money you had to pay, it's forgiven.
But, I mean, I can't believe this wasn't my first question. Why? Why cat pictures?
I guess they just really like cats in Massachusetts and this Massachusetts library. Yeah.
I see, I've heard of stories before of people having like crazy long times of not giving their books back, like 50 years, and then suddenly they find it and the library are like, no, that's fine. It's so funny that you've eventually returned it.
I think Elena might be one of those people by the sound of that.
Sounds like it, yeah. Sounds like a few libraries are going to be chasing Elena. But I mean, I would never think that, but yeah, a library can't pay their rent and their wages in cat pictures, can they?
Maybe it's just an initiative for the month of March. I think there is, yeah. It happens around the month of March.
I guess, on the plus side, if you felt embarrassed about returning your books or you maybe couldn't afford the books, this is a good amnesty, isn't it? It's a good way of getting people to like to give them back without feeling too embarrassed about it, surely.
Well, that's exactly why they should be doing it. You come and you're really embarrassed because you're giving back your book, but then you're like, oh, but look at my cat, Whiskers, and then everyone's going to forgive you.
And do we know, how are they accepting the pictures? Is it printout? Is it on, is it a slideshow? How are we doing this?
I think any picture is fine, but I do know that you get to hang the pictures on a wall in the library.
Oh,
so print out gallery.
Okay,
yeah, the gallery.
I like this. Okay, well, I'll have a think about this. Perfect, real,
oh, nice.
Well, we do. Let's check in with our book of the week, which is Pirates of Dark Sea by Catherine Doyle. It is a swashbuckling adventure about a young boy who becomes swept up in a pirate crew and takes part in a dangerous quest. We've got a message here from Catherine.
Hi there, listeners of the Week Junior Show. My name is Catherine Doyle, author of Pirates of Dark Sea, which has been selected as book of the week in the current issue of the magazine. And I'm here to answer a very important question. What was my favourite children's book growing up? The answer is The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis.
And of course, we love hearing from authors, but we also love hearing from listeners and readers as well. So Elena, what caught your eye in the inbox this week?
Molly Ann sent a message to say, on Friday 15th of March, my school had a dress funny for Money Day to raise money for Red Nose Day. The picture is of my sister Florence and I dressed funny holding our favourite magazine, The Week Junior. They're both wearing their red noses and dressed in very colourful clothing, and I love them. I also love how the magazine cover looks super colourful next to them. They're kind of matching.
Absolutely. It really does look good. Vanessa, how do you think about this crazy outfit here?
I think it's incredibly impressive. Red Nose Day was kind of, we didn't have this when I was at school, but the two readers, they look fantastic, as Elena was saying, and one of them's wearing a kind of multicoloured tutu, you know, one of those net skirts that ballerinas wear, and I always wanted one of those. So I think maybe I'm just going to dress up for Red Nose Day on my own, because they've really inspired me.
Or just maybe just a random Monday, to be honest, Vanessa. Just pop a
cheer everybody up. We've just talked about, you know, the sun is coming out, it's springtime. Maybe I should be wearing a bit more colour.
Absolutely, yeah. I do love the wonky glasses and the unicorn horn there as well. Big thank you to Molly Ann. And Vanessa, what do you have for us this week?
Well, Annabelle sent us a message to say, this is my friend Poppy and I. We are massive friends of the Week Junior and look forward to it arriving each Friday, and we were reading the latest copy together. And they've done this brilliant picture where they've laid out all their magazines in front of them and they've designed this banner, hand-drawn, hand-coloured in, strung on a piece of string, and they're each holding up one end and it says, we love the Week Junior. And can I say, Annabelle and Poppy, we love you too.
Absolutely. Elena, what do you think about that?
Well, I'm going to say the same thing as with the previous picture. The whole sign that they've made also matches the covers of the magazine, so it just makes for a really coherent, beautiful picture.
Absolutely. We love when people take covers of The Week Junior and really show their kind of creative control there as well. And we love getting your news as well. So tell us what you've been up to. You can email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk or you can leave us a voice note at funkidslive.com/theweekjunior. Just look for that big red button, grab a grown up and then record your voice. You could hear it in next week's show. And now, Vanessa, I believe there's something else going on at the moment in the Week Junior world.
There is indeed. Now, we're delighted to hear from readers and we're really, really wanting to hear from readers this week. We have, in the latest issue, we have got information about our latest survey, which is a news survey. We want to find out what our readers feel about the news, what they like, can they spot fake news maybe? We want to find out all about how they feel about current affairs. So and that we can use their answers and to shape our kind of editorial decisions and make sure that we make the magazine as brilliant as it can be and what our readers want to get. So you'll find details in the magazine, but if you haven't seen it yet, you can go to tinyurl.com/TWJ-survey news.
Good to know. Thank you very much. And of course, if any readers have got some top tips on how to figure out whether a story is true or false, I might need it for Real or Rubbish. So do let
indeed.
Me know.
Just a final note as well. We're closing the survey on the 10th of April. So people, please get your skates on.
Yes, do it quickly. Now let's dive back into the new issue of The Week Junior. Talk about some of the top stories. Elena, what story is your pick of the week?
I love the story in our Around the World section. It was about the cat bus from My Neighbor Totoro brought to life in the Ghibli Park in Japan. For those who don't know, the Ghibli Park in Japan is a theme park based on the Studio Ghibli film. So My Neighbor Totoro, Howl's Moving Castle, Spirited Away, all of those. And the park has started to bring in electric vehicles designed to look like famous film characters. And if you remember the film My Neighbor Totoro, there is a big 12-legged cat that serves as a bus for the characters of the film. And Ghibli Park has now recreated this. It includes fur seats and cats with his glowing eyes. And I don't know, I love Studio Ghibli films, so it was an instant favourite for me.
Oh yeah, Studio Ghibli, I know, has such a big fan base. That is quite an exciting thing to see in the wild. I love that, Elena. Thank you. Vanessa, how about you? I think you bring me a story from my homeland this week.
Really? Well, I was going to ask you. I mean, so I'd forgotten it was your homeland because I was going to say, do you remember that lovely tree, the sycamore, that was mysteriously chopped down a few months ago?
Where I'm from, I live about a 10-minute drive away from Sycamore Gap. And it was big news and everybody was super sad because Sycamore Gap was a bit like a family member you would maybe visit every now and again. You just drive past, check they were in, check they were there and say hello. So yeah, it was genuinely, it was a very emotional moment.
Well, I can imagine. I mean, I've never been there and I, you know, it twanged my heartstrings and it continues to twang my heartstrings just because it was such a beautiful tree in such a beautiful setting. Well, anyway, hope yet again, what a theme for this week. Hope is springing again. When the tree was chopped down, they very quickly, experts went scooting out to get as many seeds and twigs from the tree as possible. And they took them to a specialist centre and they planted the seeds and they took the twigs and they have grafted them. Now, grafting is this technique, still used actually, it's a very ancient technique. And what you do is you cut the twig in a particular way and you kind of attach it to a twig from another plant. I mean, similar, ideally a sycamore, and then you bind it up really, really tightly. And hopefully the two things growing quite slowly will fuse and then you'll be able to grow another tree from the twig. Apple trees are actually still grown like this because the roots do one thing and the top of the tree does another thing. So hopefully they're looking pretty healthy. Hopefully there will be a replacement tree, though of course it will take about 200 years to grow to the size of the one that we lost.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear it, though. I'm so glad that people have done that. And I didn't know about the grafting thing. That's amazing. I had no idea that was possible.
Yeah, I know. And they're so sweet. If you look at the picture of them, they're so sweet. They've got little bandages around them. So they look like little sort of sore thumbs. But anyway, they were quite lucky as well because it was quite early in the season. Usually you would graft stuff in the winter when the plant is kind of quite dormant. So this one, they had to gather it up and get going in September. So there was a lot of kind of fingers being crossed that they were just about in the right time to do this. But it's looking good.
Now it's time for this week's big debate, and we are talking all about music. So here's what you need to know. Sometimes when singers release a piece of music, they record two versions. One version, which is clean, with no swear words, is safe to play on the radio. And the other, explicit version, includes swear words or inappropriate language. Now, since 2011, music streaming platforms such as Spotify and Apple Music have been expected to use the word explicit next to songs that are felt to be not suitable for children. And platforms also have settings that allow users to block inappropriate content. This means they will only hear the clean version without the swear words. So the question for this week's big debate is, should singers stop swearing? This week we've got Vanessa versus Elena. Vanessa is going to say, well, yeah, actually should. They should stop swearing. And Vanessa, are you ready to go?
I am ready to go.
Excellent. Okay.
Get out the clock of pain.
The clock is here. Whenever you're ready, take it away.
Okay, well, my question is, why do you need to swear? It's not as if we can't understand what the singer's trying to say or that we can't understand the emotion they're feeling unless they stick in a few F's and Jeff's. I mean, maybe I'm getting more prudish as I get older, but I really, really don't see the point. The great poets didn't seem to feel the need to underline their messages by swearing, and they found other more powerful words to express what they were feeling. And I think that's the point of having a wide vocabulary and reading slightly difficult books. You learn more words and then you have lots of words at your disposal. You can rummage through them, like sorting through a big box of tools, until you find exactly the right one. And I think there's another reason for my unhappiness. I kind of get the feeling that swearing is usually an expression of anger. And I feel it's a shame that anger is being expressed so much and that people are feeling it so much. And does swearing even relieve your anger, or does it stoke it up? I mean, that's a whole other debate. But no, I say clean up your lyrics and find some new words.
Oh my goodness. A kind of quite exciting speech there from Vanessa, reminding us to maybe, the power of language means maybe reading more, getting more words in our vocabulary. But Elena has something to say about this, and hopefully something without swear words. So Elena, when you're ready, go for it.
Well, I just think that singers should say whatever they want to say in their songs. At the end of the day, music is a form of expression, and it would be silly to try and limit what they want to say, even if it includes swear words. Also, like Beck said earlier, there is already a system in place where singers record the original song and then they record a clean version so that children can listen to it. And also songs are marked as explicit on music platforms when they contain swearing. So I think this is enough of a system for children to avoid the sweary versions. Also, the magazine gave an idea that I've really enjoyed. Perhaps we should introduce age ratings to music like we do with films. So this one can be listened to by 12-year-olds. This one can be listened by 15-year-olds. This one is fine for all ages. This maybe just for 8-year-olds. This way, everybody knows which songs they can safely listen to. I think it's a great idea.
Interesting. Now, that is a fascinating version of that debate. Okay. Well, this is, of course, I mean, very well argued, guys. But of course, it's up to the listeners and the readers to decide what the actual answer is. So if you've got an opinion on this, go to theweekjunior.co.uk/polls to vote and tell us your thoughts about this week's big debate. And of course, we want to hear your opinion wherever it is you listen to the podcast, or by you recording a voice note. Just hit the big red button at funkidslive.com/theweekjunior and let us know what you think. Now, in last week's big debate, Flora and Rahul discussed whether schools should have a plant-based meal day. Elena, what were the results?
Well, 59% of our readers thought that a plant-based meal day was a good idea, mostly because it would be good for the planet.
Interesting.
That is interesting. I would have thought it would be more. So it's 59% thought that a plant-based meal day was a good idea. And 41% said no, it wouldn't be. I'm really surprised by that. I would have thought they'd be more pro one veggie day.
I thought so in the beginning, but then I actually read through the comments and it seems like most readers actually do think that we should have a choice. So they should get to have a choice on whether they eat meat or they eat a plant-based meal.
Okay, that sounds fair enough. I bet that means I'm going to lose the debate this week.
Well, you never know, Vanessa. Do you have any messages that were sent in last week, Vanessa?
Yeah, we did. We got a few messages, actually. So agreeing with what Elena said, somebody said, people need choices and should be encouraged to do the right thing, not made to. There are some vegetarian foods that I don't like. And imagine giving that to 100 kids if 90 don't like it. They would go hungry for the day. Oh, that's a pretty horrible thought.
True.
Somebody else said, yes, and enough of it. So when the last class comes to lunch and your child is plant-based, there's something for them to eat. That was followed by 4! I thought we hit a bit of a nerve with that one.
I noticed that. I love that, yeah.
And then somebody else said, if a food is plant-based, that doesn't mean it will taste good or be healthy. Schools should serve more responsibly produced meat and dairy, along with lots of fruit and veg. I'm finding this one quite difficult to read because they put in loads of emojis. And the pupils should decide what they eat. It's not fair for schools to decide for them. So actually that 59% sounds about right.
Yeah, I know. I do love that emoji use. I'm not going to lie. I don't see the glass of milk emoji used often enough.
True enough.
Big
true
fan
enough.
Of that. Lovely stuff. Of course, like I said, if you want to get in touch, we'd love to hear your opinion. Go to theweekjunior.co.uk/polls or record a voice note at funkidslive.com/theweekjunior. Now, before we go, we've got to reveal that real or rubbish story. Elena, can you remind me what it is, please?
A real rubbish this week was about the library allowing people to show cat pictures to avoid paying their library fines.
Now, the more I think about this, the more... I mean, it's not great for the financial aspect of the library, let's face it, but it's maybe a good way of getting the books back, of people feeling like, okay, well, it's a fun thing to do. I'm not going to get told off. I can find a cute cat picture online. And I'm wondering whether it's a one-time offer, maybe for one day only or one week only or something like that. So I'm going to say the story this week is real. I'm going to say it's a crazy real story. Should we drumroll?
Yeah. It's real, yes.
Oh, we were so sure we were going to get it.
Oh. We even practiced.
Oh my goodness, Bex, what is? Are you eating your fortified breakfast cereals or lots of spinach or something? Lots of oily fish.
Did you guess it last week?
I don't know. I don't remember what I did last week. Tell me, is it a real story then?
It's a real story.
Yes.
I'm sorry, it's Elena. I'm such a chatterbox. Come on, Elena. I will allow you to speak.
So it's the Worcester Public Library in Worcester, Massachusetts. There's also a Worcester in the UK, but there is also one in the US. The program is called March Meowness, and it's an initiative indeed to bring more people into the library. And it's really, really cool because, of course, you can bring in cat pictures to get out of paying fines. But there's people who don't have cats and kind of bring cat pictures. So you can also draw a picture of a cat and they'll accept it. And this is really funny, but you can also bring pictures of other animals that have a cat energy and you can also get away with it. Yeah, it's such a lovely one.
I love that story. I'm glad it's real. That makes me so happy. I love the idea of an animal with a cat energy. Great. Okay. Lovely stuff. Well, that would... Elena, if you could return your overdue books with just a cat picture, would you do it?
I don't think they even remember that they lost the book 10 years ago.
Oh, but that's not for you to decide. Try them with a cat picture and tell us what happened.
10 years. 10 years is a lot. It's basically your book now, Elena. I think that's how it works, eventually.
This was back in Spain, so you'll need to wait for a few weeks.
Well, we'll let them know that you're going to be on the way back with a cat picture in hand. Well, thank you so much, guys. Thank you to the Week Junior team, Vanessa and Elena. And of course, don't forget to rate, review and subscribe or follow us wherever it is you get your podcast from. Tune into next week's show where we'll be joined by some guests from the team for some more stories, debates and chat. See you then. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this podcast, which is made by the same people that make The Week Junior magazine. You can get 6 free issues of The Week Junior or 3 issues of The Week Junior Science and Nature for £5 by heading to theweekjunior.co.uk/podcast offer.